Okay, go ahead and be turning to Exodus chapter number 2. Exodus chapter 2, we are continuing our series from Egypt to the Promised Land. And last week we looked at the terrible way that Israel was treated by the ones that once welcomed them in, and we were challenged to not do like they did. Okay? We don't want to be like Egypt was. And what I mean by that is there's a tendency for us to pit person against person or group against group. And so as Christians, we need to make sure that we are seeing other men as Christ does. And so we said the first thing was we need to beware of belittling. Don't look down on others due to differences or due to their associations. Our flesh wants to compare and condemn and use that to justify wrong attitudes and actions. But then we saw that all men are made equal by God. Man was God's idea, created in his image, loved by him equally. And he died for all men, and he desires for all men to be saved. And so we see the value that mankind has.
Yes.
The third thing we saw is that it is sinful to loathe who he loves. Not only is it arrogant to act as if we know better than him, it misrepresents him, and it pushes people away from him that he desires to save. And it also keeps you from obeying God's great commission, because you don't want to win those who you see as unworthy. And then lastly, we saw that it glorifies God when we love people. It's whenever we most reflect him when we love others. As the Bible tells us, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. And so we most reflect him when we are loving others. It makes people desire to know him, and it motivates us to pursue after those that are important to him. And so we see everyone else as no more or less than us, but loved by God and in need of a relationship with him. And that helps us to set ourselves on the right foundation in our dealings with other men. Today it is Mother's Day, and that's no secret, is it? Hopefully no one's forgotten that. But anyway, we have some great mothers in here, and I'm very thankful for the mother that God has blessed me with to raise our children together. And I'm thankful for my wife. And I think Solomon was right whenever he said in Proverbs 18 and 22, "Whoso findeth a wife findeth a good thing and obtaineth the favor of the Lord." And so I feel like it is fitting today for us to shine a little light on the vital role of mothers and help us to appreciate mothers a little bit more. And so that's what we'll be doing today. And it works well for us this morning because we happen to be in a passage that shows us a very important and influential mother in the Word of God. And so we might focus a lot of attention on Moses and what Moses did. He gets a lot of that attention. But there's no question that none of it would have been possible without his godly mother. And so let us read Exodus chapter 2, verses 1 through 10. And I know we've been here already, but indulge with me for a moment, okay? We're going to look at something different here. See, it's amazing how many different ways a preacher can preach the same passage, isn't it? So anyway, Exodus chapter 2, verses 1 through 10. It says, "And there went a man of the house of Levi and took to wife a daughter of Levi. And the woman conceived and bare a son. And when she saw him, that he was a goodly child, she hid him 3 months. And when she could no longer hide him, she took for him an ark of bulrushes and daubed it with slime and with pitch, and put the child therein, and she laid it in the flags by the river's brink. And his sister stood afar off to wit what would be done to him. And the daughter of Pharaoh came down to wash herself at the river, and her maidens walked along by the river's side. And when she saw the ark among the flags, she sent her maids to fetch it. And when she opened it, she saw the child, and behold, the babe wept. And she had compassion on him and said, 'This is one of the Hebrews' children.' Then said his sister to Pharaoh's daughter, 'Shall I go and call to thee a nurse of the Hebrew women, that she may nurse the child for thee?' And Pharaoh's daughter said to her, 'Go.' And the maid went and called the child's mother. And Pharaoh's daughter said unto her, 'Take the child away and nurse it for me, and I will give thee thy wages.' And the woman took the child and nursed it. And the child grew, and she brought him unto Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. And she said, 'Because I drew him out of the water.'" Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Lord, we come to you once again today. Just thank you so much for your blessings. We thank you for this time that we have to be together in your house and around your word. And Lord, I just ask that you would just meet with us for the next little while. Just guide and direct my thoughts and my words. Help me to say the things that you'd have me to, and keep back anything that shouldn't be said. I pray, Lord, that you would just work in the hearts and the minds of each person here, that they would gain from this service exactly what is needful for them. I pray, Lord, asking you, Lord, for your blessing on the mothers here today. We're so thankful for the godly mothers, Lord, that you have put amongst us, Lord. I just pray that you would help us to appreciate them. Help us, Lord, just to love on them a little bit more today in appreciation, Lord. And Lord, I pray once again for these needs that's been lifted up, for those who are sick this morning and unable to be with us, Lord. I pray once again for Mary's daughter. She's going through chemo, and for her brother as he's recovering from the stroke. I pray continue being in those situations. And Lord, we just thank you so much for all that you do. And all these we pray in Jesus' name. And amen. It is amazing to me that the mighty Moses had such a start as this. Because whenever we look at Moses, we think about him leading the people of Israel through the Red Sea. We think of him standing before Pharaoh and saying, God says, let my people go. We see him as he ascends up onto the top of the mountain and he receives the Ten Commandments. He sees the glory of God and he comes down and his face shines. He sets and he judges the people and they all come to him for counsel. And he is basically the face of God to the people of Israel during their time of wandering in the wilderness. And that is an amazing thing that he does. But whenever we rewind his life back to the very beginning, we find kind of a tumultuous start. We find that he is born during a time that he is marked for death, that he is supposed to be cast out into the Nile River, that his mother is terrified and she is worried and she doesn't know what to do. And she's doing her best to try to hide Moses for a while and trying to keep him alive and figure out how she can get past this so that she can raise this baby up. And so that mighty leader, that one who's going to lead the children of Israel out of Egypt and through the wilderness, is beginning, like everybody else does, as a baby, completely dependent on a mother to try to keep him alive long enough so that he can grow up into that man that we know. A lot of people have the idea that the Bible takes a low view of women. There's a lot of people who criticize Christianity, criticize God's word, and that they think that it keeps women down, that it suppresses or oppresses women. But I find quite the opposite. In this book, you find many great women recorded in the record that they weren't mere accessories to God's plan, but they were very much key pieces of his plan. That God intentionally sought out women that he could put them into his plan, that they could inspire us. And not only that, but they could further along what God was doing in this world. And so too often we're guilty of lifting characters and events out of context. We lift them out of the scriptures and we isolate them from the rest of their story. And what I mean by that is we see stories such as David, and we see him as David and Goliath. We see David the king. We see him running from Saul, and we see him ruling over the people. But we fail to remember that he started off the same as we all do. We fail to remember that he started off as a baby born by a mother who was just doing the best she could to raise up her child, right? Whenever you look at Abraham and you look at Noah, how far do you think they would have gotten without the women in their lives, the godly women that they were partnered together with? And we've looked at this in the past, a long time ago, I guess, in some messages that I preached. But think about Abraham coming to Sarah and saying, I know we've always lived in this one area. We've always served these gods. We have a business. We have a home. We have a livelihood. But God appeared to me and told me to leave all that behind, and we're going to a new place. I think most women would probably look at him and say, you're going without me. Is that fair to say? That it takes a special woman to pick up everything that you have, or leave everything you've ever known and go somewhere else to follow God. And I thank God that he gave me such a woman, because obviously I didn't start off here. Okay? But think about Noah, for instance, that Noah was seen as being the village crazy man. that for 120 years he's building a boat where there is no water, saying that a God that nobody knows and nobody worships, that they have long since abandoned, that that God is going to bring judgment upon the world and that he is going to kill all humanity except for who is in his boat. Mm-hmm. Do you realize how crazy that sounds?
Yeah.
But yet his wife said, okay, I'll stay with you through this. And not only his wife, but his children, which is a testimony of the fact that they carried a lot of influence over their children. That Noah and Mrs. Noah, because we never hear her name, right?
Right.
That they lived in such a way before their children that their children said, I know it sounds crazy. I know no one else believes it, but if mom and dad says it, we believe it. We're going to follow it. The testimony they had with their children and even with their daughters-in-law, that they would follow them on the boat. And so you see these women and how key they were to God's plan, because I have a feeling that if Mrs. Noah wasn't on board with Noah, there's a good chance that neither of them would have been on board the boat. And if Sarah was not on board with Abraham, I have a feeling he would have stayed in Ur of the Chaldees. And I believe that if David did not have a godly example in his life, if he didn't have a godly mother teaching him about God, that he probably would not have been the leader that he became. When it comes to the birth of Jesus, no doubt Joseph was important, but it's Mary that we focus on. It seems like she played a bigger role in that. And all through the New Testament, we find many great women that were used of God, and I'd say the majority of them were mothers. It's fair to say, isn't it? This world needs godly mothers, and if we've got one, you better be thankful to God for her.
Yes.
And if you are one, there's no greater role that you can have.
Exactly.
As Les was saying there a minute ago about the word just, a lot of times we take that word just and apply it to mothers. Just the mother. And I think that does it a huge disservice, because it is one of the most important roles any woman can have. And so I want us to think of just four different things here about godly mothers. And the very first one is the importance of godly mothers. The importance of godly mothers. I said that I told myself I was going to refrain from saying this, but I'm going to say it anyway. It's very apparent to all of us that if it wasn't for mothers, none of us would be here.
Yeah.
We owe our very existence to our mothers, right?
Yeah.
But anyway, as I've already alluded to, Moses' whole story would have been over before it started if it had not been for the wisdom and determination of his mother. As we read this passage in Exodus 2, we find that his mother was the one who was initiating all of this. That his mother said, okay, I'm pregnant. How do I hide this? She went into hiding. She was in her house and trying not to let anybody know about it because her baby was condemned to death. And then whenever the baby was born, it said that she hid it for 3 months. And for any mothers here, you know how hard it would be to hide a newborn baby. They are not quiet. They have no situational awareness, right? They're not thinking, okay, I'm going to irritate people or people's going to hear me, so I better be quiet. It doesn't happen that way. And so she spent 3 months hiding him until she could hide him no longer. We understand that. And then she started trying to figure out the best that she knew how can I hide this baby? How can I do what I have to do and give my baby the best chance of living? And so she makes a boat. Talk about thinking outside the box. I tell you, mothers can be very inventive. They can be very resourceful, okay? And so anyway, she says, if I've got to throw him in the river, nothing says that he can't be in a boat.
Mm-hmm.
And so she puts him in a boat. And God directs that boat right to where it needs to be, right at the right time. But she says, I'm going to do everything that I can do, and I'm going to let God, I want to give him something to work with.
Yes.
Okay? And so in this passage that we read, Moses' father was rather absent. And I think that's interesting. I've mentioned it in a previous message. But I will say that it shouldn't be too surprising, because fathers are a bit out of their element with babies. You ever notice how awkward the fathers typically are with newborn babies? I know whenever Melody was first born, they took her and they handed her to me, and I'm like, okay, what do I do with this? But you give it to a mother, it just seems like they know what to do, and they have such patience and such love and tenderness, and fathers are just like, okay, here, take care of this. I want to go earn a living.
Yeah.
When God created all things, he created man, and he said it's not good for him to be alone. He's not complete yet. There's more that he's needing. And so God created Eve, gave her to Adam, the perfect counterpart to Adam, each with their own strengths, their own abilities, to function as God designed. After bringing them together, he told them to have children, to make families, to go forth, be fruitful, and multiply, right? This was to be the foundation of society, these families that was going to be a result. It was to be a foundation of society and man and woman's first and most important responsibility. God designed it, and he designated it as a priority, so it must be important, which is contrary to what society seems to say, isn't it?
Yes.
Typically, the first and most formative years of a child's life are almost completely left to mothers. Do I agree to that?
Yeah.
I'm not saying that the dads are worthless. I'm not saying that fathers don't have a part in it. They have a key part in it. But it seems that mothers were just specifically fitted for that role.
Yeah.
That they have a unique ability. Yes, fathers can provide safety and security and make sure all the needs are met. But God made women uniquely equipped to nurture and care for little ones.
Yes.
They do such a wonderful job at it. And as I said, I'm not saying that men can't. I'm not saying that this is universal, that all women are nurturers and no men are.
Yeah.
But I think this bears out that women do a great job at this as God designed it. There's an interesting pattern I see in Scripture that helps us see the importance of mothers in the lives of their children. And what I mean by this, if you look in Kings and Chronicles, this is something that's always interested me. If you look in Kings and Chronicles, you find genealogies. And we don't like genealogies, do we? It just all these names that we can't pronounce and we have no clue who they are. They don't make sense to us. But what you find is in the most wicked kings and the most godly kings, you almost always find their mothers mentioned. And this might be speculation on my part, but I believe this illustrates the mother's importance and the influence that she has on the outcome of those children.
Yeah.
And you see, whenever there is a good godly mother and the influence and a good godly child, good godly king, and then you have the wicked mother and how the king turns out that way as well. It seems like there's a connection in that. And I'll say that the way that you parent your children is going to have a lasting impact on their life. The things that you are doing when they're young is going to be a lot of what determines who they are whenever they're old. So the work that you do in your home is your most important and your most impactful work. As I said, what you're doing now is going to impact your children for the rest of their lives. It's going to impact their children, and it's going to ripple out in all directions. It amazes me how the influence that you have on that child's life, whenever they're grown, that's going to influence all of the people around them.
Yes.
And it's going to continue to go out. You're going to have a huge influence from that ministry that you have in the home. And so some of the greatest, most influential people in history give the credit to their godly mothers. And there are so many different quotes. I couldn't pick just one to use in the message today, but so many different men and women throughout history says, if it wasn't for the mother that God blessed me with, I couldn't have done anything that I've accomplished today. They give the credit to their mother. And so not only do we need for women to see how important the role is, we need men to recognize this so you can care for your wives and see the value that they have, how important what they're doing is. And for the unmarried, it also shows you how important it is to choose wisely who you marry.
Yes.
Because of how important this role is.
Right.
The second thing that we find is that it is difficult to be a mother. Can I get an amen from the women?
Yeah.
It is difficult to be a mother. Not only do you have to put up with your husband, you have to put up with your kids. And so anyway, as we look back at Moses' mom, she certainly faced difficulty. She risked her life. She made sacrifices. She stressed herself out. Whenever I read through things, I kind of try to put myself in the situation, and I can't put myself in the situation of a mother. I don't have a clue where to even start there. But I think about the circumstances that she was in and how she knew that she was going to have a child and how everything was against her, all the weights that was there, because the Pharaoh, the king, said the child must die. And she's saying, how do I keep it alive? Because no good mother wants to kill her children, right? And so anyway, it would have been hard for her to hide the pregnancy. It had been hard for her to hide the crying baby. And I figure it was even harder for her to build that little boat and to put that baby in the river, not knowing how it would turn out. Mm-hmm. We have the benefit of hindsight. We know where that boat was going to end up at. We know who was going to find it. We know what they were going to do. She didn't know when she put the boat in the water if it was going to be a good person or a bad person that found it, or if it was going to be a crocodile in the Nile.
Right.
That found the baby.
Yeah.
Even whenever it floated its way over to Pharaoh's daughter, she's the daughter of the one who made the orders to kill these children.
Right.
And so she could have easily just tipped the boat over, drowned the baby, and been done with it. She didn't know how this was going to turn out. And so it was difficult for her to go through these things. I can't imagine the tears that she shed and the mental load that she faced in that situation, but I guarantee that she wasn't thinking of herself, but she was thinking of the baby.
Oh, yeah.
And so while you may not face the same circumstances that she faced, it's still difficult to be a godly mother. If you take all the rigors of childbirth out of the story, I mean, that's a big one, isn't it? You still have all the sleepless nights, the constant vigilance. I've often said that the first few years of raising a child is just trying to keep it alive. For some reason, babies and toddlers are absolutely bent on destruction. They will do anything to harm themselves. They have no fear.
Yeah.
And so you're constantly vigilant, making sure that nothing happens to this child, just trying to get it to survive to adulthood. And then all the time, everyone's giving you opinions, and usually they are contradicting opinions about what's right and what's wrong, how to raise the child, what to do and what not to do. Your life is no longer your own. It's now spent putting another before yourself. And the great thing about mothers is generally they do it gladly.
Mm-hmm.
It's a sacrifice, but they don't see it as a sacrifice.
Right.
And oftentimes they're doing it gladly, all the while they are feeling like they're failing miserably. I think that's a hallmark of a good parent. I'll say parent just generally here. It's a hallmark of a good parent that they don't think they're doing a good job. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Because usually it's the bad parents that think they're doing a good job. But whenever you realize the immensity of the task and how important it is and the weight of this thing that you were doing, then a lot of times it's going to weigh on you thinking that I'm not doing enough, questioning every choice, every decision that you make, because your desire is to do your very best to make sure that this child turns out well and has a good life.
Yeah.
And so we usually, going through all of this, feeling like you're failing and afraid that you're going to mess up completely. You'll get a little recognition for your efforts. It's a pretty thankless job, right? Think about public jobs, and if you work a job where there's no recognition, where you're never seen, where you're never valued, you don't stay at it for very long. But with mothers, they rarely ever get any recognition. Even on Mother's Day, whenever the kids are all excited and they're going to show mom how much they appreciate it, usually it makes more work for mom than it does less. The kids wake up and they make mom breakfast, and we're going to show mom how much we appreciate her. We're going to make her breakfast, and they mess the entire kitchen up. Have some of y'all seen that? Okay. And then society is going to tell you that you're wasting your time or that your job's not important.
Yeah.
As I already said, just a mother, right?
Yeah.
And if you want to see how important what you're doing is, just look at how the world and how the enemy attacks and undermines it.
Yes.
Satan doesn't attack things that are worthless.
Exactly.
But boy, he tries to attack the home. He tries to attack the family. He tries to attack motherhood, doesn't he?
Yeah.
On top of that, as I said, we know that the enemy is going about seeking whom he may devour. And so a godly mom's protecting her kids. She's training them up in the way that they should go. And she's praying to God that it is enough to keep them from the traps and the snares that awaits them.
Mm-hmm.
Often the sleepless nights don't pass. We think about, oh, if I can just get past the late night feedings and the nappy changes and all that, it'll be easy. But see, the sleepless nights don't pass. They just, you end up with something different keeping you awake.
Yes.
And for those of you with young children saying, oh, whenever they're grown, it'll be easier. No. You're still laying up at night worried and praying over them.
Yes.
And so it's because you love them, it's because you want what's best for them, that you are continually caring for them, praying for them, looking out for them, trying to protect them, trying to care for them. And so kids, know that your mom has a hard job, especially the ones that are doing it right. And men, don't take for granted the burden that mothers carry. Just because they carry it well doesn't mean it's not heavy. Number three, it requires faith to be a godly mother. It requires faith to be a godly mother. I fully believe Moses' mom was a woman of faith. It took faith to put Moses in the river in that boat. She said, God, I don't know what to do. I've done all that I can. It's up to you now. And so she was trusting God with her baby in that boat. She was trusting that God was going to do something there. And he did. Also, I think she communicated that faith with Moses as she nursed him as a young child. We read there in Exodus 2 that whenever Pharaoh's daughter pulled the baby out of the river, that Moses' sister was standing there and said, do you want me to go and find a Hebrew woman to care for this baby? Because it's a young baby, right? Still needs to be nursed up until it's weaned and everything. Do you want me to go find a woman? And he said, yeah, go find her. And so his sister goes and gets his mother, brings her, and Pharaoh's daughter says, here, take care of the baby. I will pay you for it. And then I'll take over whenever you get him weaned. That's basically what she says.
Right.
And so for those first several years, the baby was there with Moses' mother, with Jochebed, by the way, is her name. And so Moses was there with his mother for those first and most formative years. And in that time, she instilled enough knowledge of God and of the things of God in him that whenever he came of age, he actually detached himself, if you will, from the Egyptian lifestyle. He said no to the Egyptian gods and the Egyptian royalty and all of those things, and he aligned himself with the God of the Hebrews and the Hebrew people. Whatever it was that she instilled into him at that young age followed him into adulthood, and he made a choice and says, I'm going this direction. And so we've talked about the importance and the difficulty of being a godly mother. And that's no pressure on you moms. And it's not to discourage people from wanting to become a mom. Right. Say, oh, it's hard. It's thankless. No, it's worth it, by the way.
Yes.
Or at least I speak as a dad. But the reason I go through all of this is to show us that it is bigger than you or me. When we think of how important it is and how difficult it is, it lets us know we need someone besides us.
Right.
And it points us to Christ. Right. It points us to God. It causes us to need to trust someone bigger than us. And so whenever you reach your limit, you reach out to him. When you've done all you can, you trust him with the rest. You be aware of your limits, but you let that move you to trust the one who has no limits.
Yes.
And you're also aware of the enemy and of the evil, but you're not fearful because you know that he is with you.
Exactly.
You trust God that he can care for them. Something that stuck with me over the years is I honestly couldn't count the times that I've prayed, I know you love them more than I do.
Mm-hmm.
And you can do far more for them than what I can.
Yes.
There's so often whenever I feel completely out of my depth, and I know I'm talking as a father now, I feel completely out of my depth, even as a pastor sometimes with you guys, as I'll pray for you guys. But oftentimes I am forced to rely on him because I know that I am not able of myself. And whenever mothers realize that they are limited, whenever they realize there's only so much they can do, whenever they see the enormity of the task, that causes them to turn their eyes on Jesus and say, God, I'm trusting you with my children. I need your help. I need your wisdom. I need your guidance. It takes faith to be a godly mother. It also takes faith in his ability, but also faith in his word.
Yes.
Because with all the opinions and the misinformation that you're going to see in this world, you can go to his word and you can trust what it says. You can teach them God's word and know that it's going to guide them in the right direction and it's going to give them what they need. You can trust his word.
Mm-hmm.
And then as you walk by faith and model faith in front of them and instill faith in them, you can pass it on to them.
Yes.
Because you can't pass on what you don't already have.
Exactly right.
It takes being a faithful mother be a godly mother. It takes walking with God and trusting Him and depending on Him to do it right.
Yes.
So it requires faith to be a godly mother. And then the last thing I want to bring out today is it requires patience to be a godly mother. And whenever I say that, we know that kids are always going to try your patience. No doubt, if you've got young children, you're going to hear mom a million times a day. I can remember whenever the girls were young, I heard Les say that she was going to change her name to a dirty word so that the kids couldn't say it because she got sick of hearing it. She said, I'm gonna make mom a cuss word. So you can't say it. Not only that, you're going to end up repeating yourself way too often because they never listen the first time. Or the tenth. It doesn't. You're going to be fighting the same battles today that you fought yesterday, and you're going to fight them again tomorrow.
Yeah.
Takes patience in that way. But that's not the kind of patience that I'm meaning. The kind of patience that I'm talking about is knowing that what you're doing today is for a purpose. It is looking to the future and knowing that there is something ahead that makes the now all worth it.
Yes.
The type of patience that we have is knowing that this little baby that relies on me 100% right now, if I continue steadfastly, faithfully, patiently in doing the things that I need to do now, then this child is going to benefit from it later down the road.
Mm-hmm.
That through me patiently enduring, me going through the things each day, that this child is going to grow up to know that it's loved by me, loved by God, and they're going to love God themselves.
Yes.
That is a patience that it takes day by day, week by week, month by month, year by year, working on something that's later on down the road.
Mm-hmm.
Because here's the matter of fact is that as you're a mother, especially of young children, and I'm saying this as not ever being a mother, but whenever you're taking care of young children, it's easy to get caught up in the day-to-day minutiae. It's easy to get caught up in the fixing of food and the cleaning of houses and all of these different things that are parts of motherhood that you lose sight of the prize. You lose sight of the purpose, of the reason, because you are so involved in the day-to-day activities. But whenever you realize, I'm doing this now because of what they are going to be.
Right.
I have a purpose. I'm not just taking care and keeping a human alive. I'm raising up a person in the image and likeness of God to serve Him and bring glory to Him.
Right.
We can patiently go through all of these things to bring about that end.
Okay.
I'm not saying that you are not going to enjoy the now, because honestly, raising children does have its perks. And I enjoy, just like with Melody, as young as she is now, she's so cute and everything. And I come home and, by the way, I come home and she's the one that meets me at the door most of the time. Whenever they get a little older, that stops.
Yeah.
I come in the house, they barely acknowledge my existence. But anyway, I'm saying this from a dad's point of view, but from a mom's point of view, you have all these interactions. You have this person who relies on you completely and these all this stuff that goes on and how special it is, how rewarding it is. But it's not just the now. It's I'm patiently doing this for the person that they're becoming. And so you enjoy the now, but you also keep in mind that what you're doing as they grow is so they can have a good life when they are grown.
Yes, exactly.
Moses' mom did the hard things and sacrifice so that one day he could be the man that God wanted him to be. All of the efforts that she was putting in those first years is what was responsible for him becoming the Moses that we know.
Mm-hmm.
And she did it with patience.
Yeah.
And so you don't know what your child's going to become or how God's going to use them, but you need to be patient with the process. You put up with the hard now, you enjoy the journey, and you trust God that in time we'll reap if we faint not.
Yeah.
And so in closing, as a woman, being a mother is one of the most important things that you can do. Don't take it lightly. Being a godly mother is difficult, requiring hard work and sacrifices, but it's worth it. And men and kids, don't take mothers for granted. Being a godly mother requires faith to get through the difficulties, to do it well, and pass on that faith to your children. And then lastly, what we saw is that it takes patience. You may get discouraged by the place you're at, but wait and see where God is leading you to. And so their final thought in this, Proverbs chapter 31 and verse 28, talking about a virtuous woman. Her children arise and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praiseth her. I'm thankful for the godly women that we have here in the church.
Yes.
Thankful for the godly mothers in our lives. And for the way that God has designed this. And so make sure today that you show your appreciation for the ones that have given and sacrificed and done so much to put you where you are today. So with that, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Lord, we come to you today. Thank you so much for your blessings. We thank you for this time that we've had in church today. We thank you, Lord, for this day that's been set aside to have an appreciation for mothers and for the huge impact that they make in our lives. Lord, help us, Lord, to not take them for granted, Lord. And Lord, I just pray that you would encourage these mothers, especially these with young children, just to continue doing what's right, continue following you, continue leading their children to serve you, Lord. And Lord, we just thank you so much for all that you do. We love you, we praise you, and we thank you. In Jesus' name, and amen.